Thank everybody for pitching in last week. It was a different experience, wasn't it, Father?
Yeah.
Kind of a reminder of 2020 in one way. I don't like to be reminded of 2020 if we can avoid that. But anyway, and I do thank you for everybody pitching in to make it all happen, and especially Father David for being here. You're a blessing, Father David. Well,
they should have seen him carrying a cross.
Yeah.
I did not play a musical instrument.
Yeah. Okay. You will turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. The NIV, the nearly infallible version, is very fallible. It says that a student is not above his teacher, but the word in Greek is didaskalos, which is disciple. So, that's not right. Boy, brain fog definitely has hit me too. This is not good. But anyway, the word is disciple. So Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Disciples build on their master's work. And we are all disciples. We are all following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And where we get into trouble, though, is trying to improve on the master's teaching or the master's work. We come up with unique approaches to the faith or unique approaches to worship. And the church is notorious for trying to adapt doctrine to fit situations. And that's not just the modern church. That goes all the way back. And just think in terms of your church history. What are the Crusades? They were an attempt to adapt doctrine to the situation. Or indulgences, an attempt to adapt doctrine to the current situation. So it's not good. And if a matter that you come up with, matter of the faith that you come up with, is truly unique, I guarantee it's a heresy. A disciple is not above his master. Let me give you a metaphor for the faith. All right? It's music. Jack suddenly looked up. Yeah, music. Led Zeppelin, 50 years ago. Anyway. Back in the early 1970s. Led Zeppelin was one of the hottest bands on the face of the earth, and they were touring. And they had an opening instrumental number that they were using at all of their live shows. And they called it the Overture. But one of the shows, Robert Plant, who was the lead singer, ad-libbed lyrics to the song or to the instrumental. And then it began to grow, and they ultimately changed it so that it wasn't just an instrumental anymore. It was a song that they called The Song Remains the Same. And what happened was Robert Plant had realized that as they were traveling all over the world, that even if the people locally didn't speak English, they were really getting into the music. And as a matter of fact, in the lyrics to the song that he mentions Calcutta, California, Honolulu, and so forth. But it didn't matter whether they were in Berlin or Paris or whatever. If they were playing, everybody was into the music because music is a universal language. Excuse me. But the reality of the universality of music really came home to roost in two recent high-profile lawsuits. In 2016, Led Zeppelin was sued by the estate of this lead singer and songwriter for Spirit, and saying that Led Zeppelin had stolen the chord progression from Taurus to be the introduction to Stairway to Heaven. Now, mind you, we're talking about three measures, 10 seconds of music, all right? But they claim that Led Zeppelin stole it. And so in the trial, June Page was sitting in the witness stand, and the attorney for Spirit came forward and played that 10-second piece from Taurus and then played the 10-second introduction to Stairway to Heaven and asked Page, "What do you hear?" And Page looked at him square in the face and said, "I hear Mary Poppins." And began to sing, "Chim chimmery, chim chimmery, chim chim chimmery." Same exact chord progressions. In last year, Ed Sheeran, British songwriter and singer, was sued by the estate of Marvin Gaye. They claim that his song, Sheeran's song, Thinking Out Loud, stole the music from Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. When Sheeran was called to the witness stand, he brought his guitar with him. And he sat in that witness stand and he played the chord progression. And then he played it again and sang the lyrics from Let's Get It On. And then he played it again and sang the lyrics from his song, Thinking Out Loud. And then he played it six more times, each time singing lyrics to a popular song. And then he looked up at the attorney and he said, "Do you want me to keep going?" And he picked up a piece of paper that he had brought with him and he handed it to him and he said, "Here's a list of 101 songs that use this chord progression." And he said, "This chord sequence has been around forever. It was not new to Marvin Gaye. It's not new to me." The song remains the same. We build on the masters who have come before us. Every song is plagiarized. Beethoven, in his early symphonies, sounded an awful lot like Mozart. Every contemporary Christian song has its roots in King David and King Solomon, Jeduthun, Sons of Korah, and other songsters from the Bible. There's nothing new here. We're just building on what we have been given. And every good preacher, if he is honest, is an unrepentant plagiarist.
Plagiarism is a gift.
Plagiarism is a gift of ordained ministry. There you go. All right. My friends, we're all disciples. We are all building on our master's words and work, which are foundational to the faith. But there is a problem. The church is always trying to reinvent itself. We want to be relevant to society. We want to be able to speak to the younger generation. We want to be able to speak to the issues of the modern age. And so we turn to secular masters. We do internet studies, employ modern church growth models. We address the issues as if they were different today than they were in ages past. And how is this relevancy working out for us? Let me tell you. Gallup did a poll, it released it last year, on religion in America. In 1971, 90% of Americans identified with the Christian religion. 90%. In 2021, only 69% of Americans claim to be Christian. And of those 69%, 49% say that religion is very important. But only 29% attend worship. And 31% say they never go to church. Only 47% of those who identify as Christian actually even belong to a church. To quote the aforementioned Marvin Gaye, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on is the church has lost contact with her roots. This is Foundation Day. I wasn't even thinking in regards to that when I started writing this sermon, but it seems somehow, maybe God had a hand in this, somehow appropriate. But Pastor Randy Adler, back in the late 1980s and early 1990, Pastor Randy Adler of Stone Mountain Charismatic Church in San Clemente knew that there was something missing. Now, mind you, he was a very successful pastor, a very successful prophet. He had a huge ministry, and he had a 200-member church right there in San Clemente, California. But he knew that there was something that was definitely missing in what he was trying to do. And so he began to search the scriptures, and he began to search the ancient and apostolic faith. He studied and read the early church fathers, and he began looking at the foundations of the faith, and he said, we miss it. We need apostolic authority in the church. We need the sacraments. We need the liturgy. Yes, we are evangelical. Yes, we are charismatic, but we're missing the foundation stones of the church. And that's when he sought out being ordained in the apostolic succession. And I admire the man, just unbelievably profound individual, and he is missed dearly today. But Jesus said all this for us, and we just kind of have ignored it. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built on the rock. St. Paul said to the church at Corinth, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Be careful how you build on the rock. Paul also said, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And there is only one gospel. Paul told the church at Galatia, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Wow. The song remains the same. So what does this mean for us individually and as parish? I'm going to give you a truth. This may come as a shock, but it is a truth, okay? The internet lies. The news outlets lie. And here's the shocker. Politicians lie. It is pretty funny, Peter, if it weren't so sad.
Yeah.
But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me share with you my experience over the last couple of months. I knew my 40th anniversary of ordination was coming up. Oh, and I do. Did you guys enjoy my celebration last year? I hope David enjoyed it. Actually, I did enjoy it because Karen Dubois brought me two pieces of chocolate cake. Oh, I tell you, God is good. And you had it here too. Yeah.
We ate the rest of it.
Yeah, you ate the rest of it. Thank you. Anyway, but yes. But yeah, over the last couple of months, I've really given some careful thought. And as the Rector's Council affirmed, you know, I've given this very careful thought because, you know, am I the right person in the right place at the right time? I've been doing this for 40 years, but, you know, is it time for somebody younger to come along? You know, I've wrestled with all of these different questions. And so what I've done is I've spent a lot of time journaling about what it means to be ordained, but I've also been journaling about what prophetic words have been spoken over me about my ministry. And I studied Paul's exhortations to Timothy and to Titus, young disciples listening to the master. I wanted to hear what he had to say to these young disciples who were to be ordained or were ordained. And I listened to the charge that was given at my ordination. I managed to find a cassette tape of my ordination 40 years ago, and I played it, and I listened to the preacher preach and the charge that he gave me at my ordination. And then I'll tell you a story at another time, but and then I decided I need to call him. I had no idea where he was or how to find him, but by the grace of God, I was able to track him down, and I'll tell you about that conversation another time. He's 84 years old, mind you. It was a really awesome chance to get together with him. But anyway, I've listened to the prophetic words. I've listened to the scriptures. I've listened to the charges that have been given to me by the preachers. And I went to the early church fathers. During my retreat at Mepkin Abbey in May, I read St. John Chrysostom's 6 books on the priesthood. I want to make sure that I'm walking in the way of Christ and building firmly on the foundation that has been laid by generations past. And so I went back and I listened to my teachers and I examined the foundation stones of my ministry. A disciple is not above his teacher. Our marching orders have not changed just because the society around us has. The song remains the same. When you are feeling lost or discouraged or overwhelmed, it is a temptation to try something new.
Have you tried the cake and food banners?
But this is a time for not trying something new. This is a time that the church in the disarray that it's in for us to go back to the roots, to go back to the foundation stones. This is a time to return to the first principles of the faith, to return to our first love of worship. It is a time for us to practice those proven disciplines of the faith. I'm sure that each one of you have received a prophetic word. I know that the bishop has given a prophetic word over everybody that he has confirmed in this church. But don't let those words fall to the ground. That was something that was said of Samuel. He never let the word of God fall to the ground. Don't let those words fall to the ground. even if you can't put your hands on the CDs or whatever it is we gave you, or we were unable to record it, whatever it may be, you know, and you can always ask God, please remind me, what was the prophetic word that the bishop spoke over me? And he's spoken many words in times past. Go back to what the teacher, the master, the apostle has said to you as a disciple. Listen to what God is speaking into your life. Trust the Holy Scriptures. Can you turn that back on? Thank you. Trust the Holy Scriptures. If you're not sure exactly what to read, ask the elders. We're here. We're glad to help. These are the foundation stones of the faith. And above all, do not absent yourself from worship. When times are troubled, times are hard, we're feeling discouraged or depressed, sometimes it's easier to say, oh, I just don't feel up to going to church right now. Of course, Miranda will remind me, you're the priest. You've got to go. It's so easy, and you know, God has given us a tremendous gift in Zoom, okay? It's just a wonderful thing. It definitely was a blessing during the worst of the pandemic. But it's so easy just to tune into Zoom instead of coming into church. And so I would just encourage you, don't absent yourself from the worship here. Not only because of what you might get out of it from being here with the other saints of God, but also what you bring to it. You may have the very word of God for the congregation that day. You may have a prophetic word for somebody individually. You may have a word of comfort or consolation or encouragement for the whole congregation. You need to be here because God has equipped you. And he can use you if you're in the right place at the right time. And it's communion, not just communion, body and blood. It's communion with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other. We need it to be built up on each other's shoulders as well as on the masters that come before us. And besides, this may come as a shock to you, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom. Amen. Yep. My friends, the song remains the same. Listen to the masters. Listen to your teachers. We build as disciples on the master's work and word that has come before us. Let us always return to those foundations, to those masters, to God's holy word, both written and incarnate. Amen.